Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
I might be sick. I might not feel great. I might have missed WrestleMania, but damn it. I just watched it two nights, 26,000 people in Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. I'm jealous of those people. There's nothing like a full crowd. There's nothing like a huge wrestling show. There's nothing like those goosebumps that you get. There's nothing like WrestleMania. Let's go.
My boss hit my line with an angry text saying something about B90X. I said wrestling. I'm going to wrestling. Then my phone blew up with a couple alarms. I got bets to make. I got worms to farm. I said wrestling. I'm going to wrestling. I'm a wrestling son of a bitch from a worm farm down on the Mississippi. And if you got a problem with the way I live, you could catch a chest chop then a super kick. Yeah, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
Night 2 of WrestleMania just ends, so WrestleMania 37 is in the books. Thank you to all the wrestlers. Thank you to the WWE that put it on. Thank you to the fans in Tampa that showed up and showed out. It was incredible to feel that energy again, to get that pulsating through an arena. I only wish I had been there. I was not, but here we go. This is our WrestleMania recap. Today's show, I'm going to talk about night one. I'll talk about night two. We'll do a little rating, perhaps. I'm going to give you a chance to give me your voicemails later. You might be calling right now. But we have a special treat. One of the stars of the show that opened up WrestleMania by defending his WWE championship, the almighty Bobby Lashley, stopped by Wrestling Today to talk with us for 30 minutes. I've got a 30-minute interview with the man, Bobby Lashley, in just a second. WrestleMania comes and goes. And for 13 months, we were shuttered in our rooms. For 13 months, we have been wearing masks. For 13 months, we have been away from each other. For 13 months, we've been watching shows in warehouses and you know, empty buildings, empty arenas, and in front of a bunch of TVs. And it's fine. They've done great. But there's nothing like that live crowd. And when WWE decided to go for it, a lot of people didn't like it. I loved it. And I'm sitting here with COVID right now. I would have given anything to be there. But I love the idea. If you're willing to go and you're not worried, you know, if you're willing to go, I think the option should be there for you to go. And a lot of people did. And the crowd was electric. WrestleMania 37 is over. I think WrestleMania 37 was a good WrestleMania. I'm not sure it was an elite WrestleMania, but it didn't need to be. It didn't need to be elite to feel elite. It didn't need to. It's like that post-breakup. That post-breakup where you dated her for 3 years. And for 6 months, you're just in a malaise. You can't go anywhere. And finally, you've realized, you know what? I'm just back out there again. I'm dating again. And you're just sitting across looking at a hot-ass girl. You don't care where it's going, but you're just in the fucking game again. Tonight was a hot-ass girl sitting looking back at us. And that old broad that left us and lives in a trailer now down there in Mississippi, fuck her. All right? Don't worry about her. WrestleMania has come. It has gone. Let's go night by night. So I want to start with night two. Roman Reigns. WrestleMania 37, when it is written, was about Roman Reigns. Because during this pandemic, two guys I thought stepped up and led Raw and led SmackDown. Drew McIntyre led Raw. Roman Reigns led SmackDown. He got the Universal title back in the summer. He has the head of the table gimmick going. It's the greatest gimmick he's ever had. He is the most comfortable in this role. Best Roman Reigns ever. This is the Roman Reigns Vince saw years ago and he never really quite got to. This is the greatest Roman Reigns possible. This is the biggest deal in wrestling. This is the top wrestler in the world. I'm not saying the best, the top wrestler in the world. He carries himself like that. He belongs like that. And tonight, the storyline had him against Edge, the old desperate guy, 47 years old, trying to get one more era in the sun, and Daniel Bryan, who's always been the underdog, the plucky underdog, trying to go against him. And he ends up pinning both in about a 25 to 30 minute match that was electric. All three guys are pros. It was hard hitting. There were some chair shots. You don't really see that many chair shots these days. There were some chair shots. It was a 4.5, 5-star match. It was excellent match, the best match of night two. And it ended with Roman Reigns pinning Edge and Daniel Bryan decisively. And that's how it should have ended, because Roman Reigns is the guy. And WrestleMania just ended with the guy standing above everybody else. That was excellent. I got to be honest, night two wasn't as good as night one on the whole. I thought night two was a little bit of a slog. Now, still a fine evening of wrestling if you take out the first hour. That first hour was rough. Nobody is as positive as I am. That first hour of night two was rough. Daniel, I've said it on the show, I'm not really the target audience for The Fiend and Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton. When they opened Mania, I was just like, let's get through it. And the fact that Randy Orton set The Fiend on fire 4 months ago, and tonight it only took one RKO to pin him. What are we doing? I just don't understand. I'm not going to speak very much of this. I thought the storyline fell flat. I thought the storyline's been falling flat for 6 months. It's a waste of all three very talented individuals. Get Randy Orton to something else. Get Alexa Bliss to something else. Get Bray Wyatt to something else. It's been god-awful, and it shouldn't have been on Mania. It shouldn't have gone down like it did. I don't want to talk about that anymore. The women's tag match was just – it was fine, but the match the night two really got going when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn came out there. I thought that was an excellent match. It's always – you can trust those guys to always be good. I thought one of the big stars of night two was Apollo Crews, and he is somebody that hasn't really ever been given much of a shot, but him and Big E just beat the shit out of each other in the Nigerian drum match, and it went about 10, 15 minutes. It ends when he's got a big new heavy who comes in and helps him win, and now he's the champ. So that's a storyline going forward. Two giants. It looks like one's going to be on SmackDown and then Omos on Raw. I didn't talk about Omos yet, but I will talk about him in just a minute. But Rhea Ripley is the new Raw Women's Champion. That match kind of disappointed me. Two great, great competitors. But I guess Bianca and Sasha just put the bar way too high. Way too high. Because Bianca and Sasha had the best women's match that's ever been had at a WrestleMania. I don't even think that's much of a debate. It's the best women's match in the history of WrestleMania. It's probably the biggest women's match of all time. And they were fantastic. Sasha Banks continues to be the best wrestler in the world, and Bianca's a star. And tonight, not through any fault of their own, Asuka and Rhea Ripley didn't feel as big. As a whole, a very good Mania. I thought night two was not as good as night one. Night one delivered up and down the card. Night two kind of struggled to get out of the gate and then finally got going. And it ended very, very, very strong. But overall, I love the fact that we just had this WrestleMania. We had some star-making performances. Bianca grabbed the brass ring. Cesaro grabbed the brass ring. Bobby Lashley, nobody thought he was going to retain. He retained. Let's go ahead and talk about night one right now. All right, before we get to my night one thoughts, I got to tell you guys from personal experience, you never know when you'll need the most help with the most basic of human needs. You might start every day knowing what your dinner is going to be that night, but sometimes you get in a situation where you need a dinner fast and easy without a lot of thought involved, and it has to be healthy. You have to have everything you normally have, but it just needs to be kind of there for you and make life easier for you, because life is hard. Getting sick is hard. But when you have things like HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients, mouthwatering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. That means I don't have to worry if my family's eating good. I don't have to worry if my family's eating healthy. I know that if there's HelloFresh in the house, which there's always HelloFresh in the house, my wife has a 30-minute meal she can take out of the box. The instructions are right there. The high-quality ingredients are right there. Bing, bam, boom. My kids are eating good that night. I'm eating good that night. My wife's eating good that night. Skip the trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. HelloFresh's fresh ingredients are sourced directly from growers and delivered to from the farm to your door in under a week, contact-free, of course. Go to HelloFresh.com/Wrestling12, that's Wrestling12, and use code Wrestling12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. One HelloFresh meal is a great bargain. Two is an incredible bargain. 12 is ridiculous. You got to do it. HelloFresh.com/wrestling12, RASSLIN12. And you get 12 free meals, including free shipping. All right, so let's get into my night one thoughts about WrestleMania. Number one, tonight WrestleMania needs to be here to stay. It feels right. It breathes. It is the exact amount of what you need. Imagine on Saturday night if you had the weather delay and then it went till 2 a.m. and you had double the matches. It would have been a miserable experience. It would have been a terrible night. Last night, Saturday night, was incredible. It was perfect. It was perfect. It was half the card and 3-hour block. We had the weather delay. We all got through it. This needs to stay. We need the two-night WrestleMania. It's a great idea. I love it. Number one, my thoughts about night one of WrestleMania. Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair was the perfect main event. It was absolutely pitch perfect. Now, you can argue until you're blue in the face if you want to go 4¾ stars or 4¼ stars or 4.9 stars, whatever. Star ratings are for idiots. All right, star ratings are things we invented a long time ago to make ourselves miserable about something we love. Do you ever get finished eating a burger at a restaurant and say, I'm only going to get it at 3¼ stars? No, you enjoy the fact that you're full. Do you ever get home and get lucky with the wife and you roll off the top of her and say, I'm going to give that 3¼/5 stars? No, you enjoy the fact you got lucky. Enjoy these things, all right? This was a great match. Now, as far as star ratings go, it was at the top of the scale. Bianca Belair is flat out a star in this business. A star. She has a presence, an athletic ability, a moveset, a way about her that is just made for the big time. I don't think she was ever looked at as the can't miss star like a Rhea Ripley, but she certainly had potential. But now on the big stage, I think she's more of a big stage person than a small stage person. She was built for this. That match last night was perfect for Bianca Belair, and I'll tell you why. And it's a take that I've said before on the show. It's a take that I get made fun of on Twitter. It's a take that not a whole lot of you agree with, but it's a take that I believe now more than ever. The reason Bianca Belair came off as such a star, the reason Bianca Belair springboarded last night into everyone's consciousness is A, because she's good, but B, it's because of Sasha Banks being the best wrestler in the world. Let me say that again. Sasha Banks is the best wrestler in the world. You can talk about her promos. You can talk about whatever. In the ring, Sasha Banks brings it more than anybody brings it. Sasha, whatever Bianca becomes in her career, we're going to look back at this night, and Sasha is the one that got it started for her because Sasha made her look like a billion bucks. She took every strong move. She took everything to showcase. Sasha Banks crafted a match that made Bianca Belair look like a superhero. And that is special. This women's revolution, when it started six years ago, there were four. Charlotte, Becky, Bayley, Sasha. And then, of course, you had Asuka. You had others added to the mix later on. Sasha was always pushed behind the Charlottes and the Beckys and somewhat the Baileys. Certainly the Charlotte. Charlotte got the rocket push before anybody. She's a fine wrestler. She ain't Sasha Banks. Becky Lynch got herself over with the man gimmick, but once she got to the main event, it didn't really sustain itself. She's a fine wrestler, great wrestler. She is not Sasha Banks. Bayley is incredible. I love Bayley, my second favorite women's wrestler in the world. She is not Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is built to be on this big stage and to make stars, and I thought last night was the night not only belonged to Bianca Belair, it belonged to Sasha Banks saying, yep, I'm in the main event. You know why? Because I'm Sasha Banks and I belong there. It was great. Before that match, there was, of course, the WWE Championship match. You had Lashley and Drew McIntyre. And this is one of those rare times where I changed my opinion in the moment. I went into the match thinking, this is the first time in 13 months you've got a crowd. It's time to give Drew his moment. It's time to give him his moment in front of a crowd. He deserves it. Reward him. And when it didn't happen, when he didn't go over, I was disappointed. I was like, that's a wrong decision. But I thought about it. No, it was the exact right decision. Because Bobby Lashley has earned his way to the top, too. Raw has a great thing right now. They have two stars peaking at the exact same time. That's Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley. But if you allow Bobby Lashley to win the title over Miz in February and then lose it 5 weeks later in his first major defense, you haven't really made a star, have you? You've made a transitional champion. And last night, Bobby Lashley beat Drew down, ends it with the Hurt Lock, wins the match. This feud now has legs. Drew ain't going anywhere. He'll come back. He'll come back. He'll try to fight Bobby Lashley. He'll try to get back to the top of the mountain. But instead of walking out of there with one, WWE walked out of that match with two made men. And that is special. And I think it was a bold decision in the very first match since the pandemic with crowds in the fans in the crowd. It was very bold to not give them that moment, but it's going to pay off in the long run. I agree with it. It's fantastic. And Bobby Lashley deserves it. This guy's doing the best work of his career. So is Drew. And I think they're going to feud on top of this card for next year or so. And it's going to be very, very enjoyable. Here's the thing about, here's a funny thing about me. The weather for WrestleMania 37. I'm going to take you guys inside my psyche and where I'm at as a human being. I do not handle anticipatory stress very well. I don't handle it well at all. When we're going somewhere, if we're going to the movies that night, I want to leave for the movies about an hour ahead of time. I want to make sure I get the best parking spot, the best seat in the movie theater. I want to be, if my reservation is 6:30, I get there at 6. I just can't stand anticipation. I'm always scared I'm going to miss something. So, flash forward to last week. I'm about to get ready to go to Mania. I get COVID. Now I can't go. What I'm telling you right now is if I'd been at Tampa, I'd been waiting for WrestleMania for 37 years, and the weather had been bad all day, and I was watching the radar, and I was sitting in my hotel room, and I was worried, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? I would have been a nervous wreck. I would have gotten a migraine. I would have been awful. Somehow, COVID kept me from the most stressful situation. It's a weird thing to say. It's a very weird thing to say. I'm just telling you what my mind is like, what my life is like. I was sitting in my house last night when they were getting rained on. I was like, well, A, I have COVID, but B, I'm dry. So it was certainly disappointing to get the weather delay, but I thought WWE really handled the weather delay with great class and great skill. And they put their best mic guys on promos, and it actually fit into the show. I thought they handled it very, very well. And to those 26,000 lucky people that got to be there and were able to stick out that weather and stick out the toughness, it was awesome. It was just so great to see a crowd again. Bad Bunny, I wouldn't have given you a nickel for my care in the Bad Bunny Miz match. Now, Miz was here last week, and we talked about it. And, you know, they hyped it up. I just don't generally care for celebrity matches. I really don't. I never really got the hype there. And this one, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm 41. All I listen to on the way into work is 90s country. I'm not listening to Bad Bunny. I don't know who Bad Bunny is. But I watch all wrestling with an open mind. And I watched that one last night. And Bad Bunny, that was a top three celebrity match appearance in the history of the company. That guy clearly cares. That guy clearly busted his ass. That guy clearly, it mattered to him what it looked like. And he delivered a very, very good performance. And if you're going to have a celebrity, you need to vet them and make sure you're going to get the buy-in that Bad Bunny gave him. Because Bad Bunny's been there for 3 months. He's done backstage segments. He's shown ass. He's let him knock him around. And he's just put in one of the better celebrity performances ever. One of the great celebrity meetings ever by WWE is Bad Bunny. I had no idea who he was, but credit to him for working his ass off. Credit to Damian Priest for working beside him. Credit to The Miz and Morrison for making him look like $1 million, because that's not easy. And The Miz and Morrison, they will always get embarrassed for the company's sake. I thought that was a great piece of business. I thought the match of the night was the main event, the women's main event. It was very, very good. I loved it. I'm just a fan of both of those. But the secondary match of the night was Cesaro and Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins and Cesaro. This is where the depth of the 2021 WWE roster really shows that even, you know, fifth or sixth down the card, you got two of the best wrestlers in the world. You got two professionals who can be trusted to go out in front of 20,000 people and give you a four-star match without even breaking a sweat. And Seth Rollins laid down for Cesaro, made Cesaro look like a star. It's been a long time coming. Cesaro is somebody that we've always wanted to see pushed a little bit more. Hopefully this is the start and not the end of that. But I am very excited because that was a very entertaining match. And Shane Braun, I did not care for that match going in. I will say this, it was better than had any right being. The image of Braun Strowman reaching through the cage and grabbing Shane and pulling him in, that's brilliant. That's fantastic. Didn't care for it going in, but I thought it was very good. What we got was good, and I wasn't insulted by it. So overall, night one of WrestleMania 37, I'll always remember for seeing the crowd the first time and hearing them, and Vince McMahon welcoming the crowd, saying, "Welcome to WrestleMania." That was Goosebump City. And why do you watch this if not to get goosebumps? Very pleased with the Mania we just had. I'm also pleased that we were able to get somebody, one of the biggest stars in wrestling right now, Bobby Lashley. He goes over Drew McIntyre on night one, a surprise to many, but the guy's doing the best work of his career, and he's here right now. Let's go ahead and talk to him. Let's bring on the almighty WWE champion, Bobby Lashley. All right, let's get right into it on wrestling this week. This is WrestleMania weekend. We're not screwing around. We're getting right to it. And when I tell you that wrestling on Barstool doesn't screw around, I don't get the ninth guy on the card in Paducah, all right? I don't get the guy who's up and coming down there in Sheboygan. I go to the top, and I get the hottest professional wrestler in the world today. He is the almighty WWE champion, Bobby Lashley. Hello, sir.
What's going on, man?
There he is. I'm telling you, man, you are on the hottest streak of your career. And last night, that match with Drew McIntyre, he's also on the hottest streak of his career. I thought it was a fantastic clash of titans. How'd it come across to you?
It was exactly that. You know what? Coming back with the fans, seeing the fans for the first time. And, you know, first of all, we had an amazing card last night.
Right.
And if you think about who you want to put as that first match coming out of the bar, it had to be us. WWE Championship, first time with fans in over a year, and they needed something rough. They needed something to show what this business is about. And me and Drew went out there and fought. And that's what they wanted to see.
You absolutely did. And you guys were first. When did you guys find out you were going to be first? Was it yesterday? Was it a couple days ago?
I think it was, day before yesterday. So, like the night before, night before WrestleMania.
So you guys are getting there, and you've waited 13 months for a crowd, and you get all the way up to 8 o'clock, and boom, weather. How'd that feel?
You know what? I was so in the zone at this time. I'm telling you, I'm a different breed. When I go in there, I was amped up. When we walked out on the stage and everybody was out there, if you watch back at some of that video, everybody was trying to stay still, but the crowd was like so hyped. Guys were like, you know, guys that weren't even wrestling yesterday, they were jumping up and down like, oh, man, I couldn't wait. So the adrenaline level was just on a whole different – I was just amped completely. And then we went back to the back. When we went back to the back, they said delay. I was like, oh, I don't know what to do with all of this. I started doing sprints down the hallway. I'm doing push-ups. I'm shadow boxing. I was like, man, there's no way they're going to stop this. We're going out there. And I told them, I said – if nothing else, just put me and Drew out there. We'll punch each other in the face until somebody goes down. This show is going to happen.
So you guys did have a delay of about 40 minutes, but you did go first, and it looked like there was no ill effects of the delay. You guys picked up right where you left off. When you got in the ring, was there any, we got to work through this, or you just felt natural?
There was a little bit, because it was almost to the point where I was like, man, I don't even want to start yet. Right. These guys are so intense. The crowd's so hype. People are not even sitting down at this time. They're just waiting for action. And me and Drew hadn't got our hands on each other like head to head in a while. So we're just standing there, and that tension was building. The crowd was getting into it. I was like, man, this is it. So it was like there was a little bit of nervousness, a little bit of jitters, but that's what we have every match. I don't care if there's nobody in the arena. We were ready to go.
I think we've entered an era, thanks to you and Drew McIntyre, of kind of the big hoss fight on top, the just two big studs just going at each other. You've for the last 3 months, and Drew, you fought Sheamus, you fought Keith Lee, you fought each other. It's just been back and forth, these big guys just slugging it out. Is that a conscious effort you guys are making to bring this physical style on top?
Well, I know when Drew got into when Drew won the title before, and his whole play of moving up to it, he was just trying to say how much he wanted to toughen up the roster. And he kept saying that. He said, I'll be the locker room leader. I'll toughen up the locker room. And that's what has kind of happened. It seemed like the tougher guys kind of rose up a little bit toward the top of Raw, especially. And it just got really physical, because like the match that I had with Sheamus a few weeks back, man, we beat each other. We beat each other up like crazy. And I take nothing away from him. I think he's a great champion. I think he was a great champion. And that just shows the level. Keith Lee also. Look at Keith Lee. He's a hoss. He can go. He can fight. But everybody else is like that. But, I mean, when Drew wanted the toughest guys on the roster to move themselves up, you had to put the toughest guy on top.
And that's –
and now we have him.
Yeah, that's exactly what we have here. So you have you've had this long journey just like Drew has, and yes. you started off at the top, you know, 15 years ago. You kind of your road got a little longer, but you came back, and yesterday you were in the main event of WrestleMania fighting for the championship and retaining. What personally was it like to be on that stage in that moment, knowing that this was two decades in the making?
You know,
that's crazy.
It is. But you know what? The thing is that when you say it, it resonates with me.
Right.
If you didn't say it, I wouldn't think it. Because the whole time, man, I've been living a dream, man. I've been living a dream this entire time. When I first had my birth in the WWE, when I first made my debut on SmackDown, all these things, I've just been living the dream. And I've been working like crazy the whole time. And I enjoyed the journey. I enjoyed the working. I enjoyed like each time, like making myself better and making in the whole time I was going along, I said, you know what? I have what it takes to be a champion, and I'm okay that it's going to come, and I'm not going to force it. And if I would have got it before, if I would have got it in my first run, I think it would have been a little premature. Since then, I've matured a little bit. I've matured both mentally and physically. And I've learned so much more about the game. And my game has just been kind of like evolving and evolving. And I think right now I'm at the point where everything's coming together perfect. So I think right now it was a perfect time. It's a perfect time for me.
It certainly, you've reached a level over the last couple of months that has been higher than anything that I've ever seen so far. When did you start feeling momentum? I know you and MVP and Hurt Business got together last year. When did you start feeling this momentum? Like, okay, this could go to the top.
When I first came in, I was ready. When I first debuted, I was ready. The crowd went crazy down in New Orleans when I made my debut. And I was like, all right, give me the ball. I'm ready to run with it. And then they were like, here's the ball. No, you don't get it anymore.
Here's half of the ball.
But there was something that I was told. It was like, you know what? This is a different day and age. Of course you can beat people up. We know that. But humble yourself and just have fun for a little while. This crowd wants to see fun.
Yeah.
This society today wants to see fun. We're going to make you feel as uncomfortable as we can in the ring until we let you just release yourself. And that's what I needed. I think I really needed in my career, because I'm a soldier. I came from a military background. My dad was a drill sergeant. So everything was so, you know, rigid. Stay focused, keep your head down, and keep driving forward. That's the military model, and that's the same wrestling model, amateur wrestling model. So that's how I've been my entire life. And I think Vince and several other people told me, look, man, shake that off. Let it loose. Have fun. Just let loose. And that's what I started doing. Yes, the character of the Almighty is a little tougher and everything like that, but I have fun with it. I have extreme amounts of confidence walking down there. And when I start feeling that confidence, when I came out of the curtain, I just stand there.
Right.
I feel it. And when I started feeling it, the crowd felt it. And when the crowd felt it, the guys in the back started feeling it. And the guys that I was competing against started feeling it. And at that point, everybody knew, uh-oh, this is finally happening. That guy that we have submerged and held down this entire time has actually broken out of the shackles. And now he's going to do some crazy stuff. And who's going to stop him?
Well, that remains the question. I don't know the answer to that. I'd like to throw a theory by you. I've had this theory for a while. Okay.
Let's do it.
Bear with me. The theory is called wrestlers in suits. Wrestlers look incredible in suits. And if you want to break through to the final level of your career, if you want to unlock the key, put a wrestler in a suit and have him stand there. I think you're a very good example of the wrestlers in suits theory.
Well, you know what? The reason why that was a big part of the Hurt Business. And if you look at the show now, how many suits have you seen pop out? Yes. Everybody's been like, uh-oh. We just sat back and laughed. But it's a good thing, because we're superstars. You don't come to the building wearing sweats and torn up T-shirts, because the fans look at you, they're like, wait a minute, that's the superstar?
Yeah.
No, you see me, I come clean every single time. I put on some of my nicest suits. I'm getting tailor suits fitted to me. I'm coming out with a stroke of confidence. But that's needed, because we need to let them know that we're not just wrestlers. We're superstars. And that's important. Perception is a lot of the game.
No, you present yourself like a big deal. And
absolutely.
If you present yourself like a big deal, then you're a big deal. Me, my dad was a crackhead. That's why I'm a podcaster. And I dress like a podcaster. I'll never be anything. But if I started getting in suits, I think I can make it where you are.
There you go. There you go. That's half the battle.
Well, I want to ask a couple more questions. I thank you for this time. MVP. I mean, you can't really tell the story of Bobby Lashley in 2021 without also telling the story of MVP. How awesome has it been being beside that guy?
You have to, sometimes you have to believe in somebody else's belief in you.
Right.
Okay. And I say that all the time. He's a good friend of mine. And there's times when we go back in the back and I just look back at him. And he's like, man, he's that voice that's on your shoulder that's telling you, without saying any cuss words, forget this. You need to get and take what you deserve. Mm-hmm. You know, and he wasn't gonna just sit back and allow me to say, okay, you know, I'm just having fun here. You know, it's good to be back. Let's go maybe win the title here. Maybe just have fun here. He's like, man, there's no way you should be there. You should be on top. And if you haven't been there yet, listen to all the people that are talking. Post something online any point in time. So I posted something. He's like, look at the comments.
Yeah.
Bobby and Brock, you should be a world champion. You should be a world champion. He said, why don't you believe them? I said, I do believe them, but you're not doing anything about it. Ruffle some feathers, hurt some people. And that's what we started doing. Take what you want. That's a life lesson. That's a life lesson that I've learned and I like to pass on, especially to my kids. Sometimes you just got to take what you want and what you need.
It really is.
What you deserve.
It's an awesome story. I'm sorry. I was just telling you it was an awesome story. Yes. But you got the title, I believe, 5 weeks ago. And WrestleMania last night, which of those moments kind of stick out in your head? Is it six of one, half dozen of the other?
It is. Because it's WrestleMania, so you can't say anything about that. And to defeat Drew at WrestleMania, that's two enormous feats. Enormous feats. But at the same time, man, and I'm going to give props to another person because that's just what I do. The Miz.
Right.
Friggin' incredible. If you don't like The Miz, that's a jealousy on your part, because Miz is an incredible person. I mean, the match that he put together last night with Bad Bunny, phenomenal.
I said this last week. The Miz gave you had a match with you for the title and made you look like a trillion bucks. And last night got in the ring with somebody who's never wrestled and made him look like a trillion bucks. That's incredible.
The way that he did it and the way that I won it from him, I couldn't think of a better way.
Right.
Like sometimes, you know, the crowd, the marks or something like that go through and they have like fantasy bookings of things that they want to happen here or there. And then we have a writing team and then all of these different things that come into play. But the way that it went down for me was incredible. Like, because it was like that whole thing. Here you go. Take it away. Here you go. Take it away. And then it got to the point where everybody was like at the end of the show, because the ratings did great, because they were like, is Miz gonna actually get away with this? And Miz had everybody believing that he was gonna be able to get away with it. He's that good. And that's what people have to understand, is that right now on the roster of wrestling across the board, our roster is insane. We have guys that are sitting back that didn't even get highlighted right now that could be in main event matches in WrestleMania, that will be in main event matches in WrestleMania for the years to come. We have some guys that are sitting back there in the locker room that did not even get a match at WrestleMania that will, I guarantee you, be a main event match in WrestleMania in the years to come. And I can start listing off names from Ali's to the Ricochets to the Elias's to, I mean, Sheamus has a match with, I mean, Sheamus, and there's so many different guys out there right now. This is an incredible time to be a wrestling fan because of the amount of talent that we have.
I said the exact same thing earlier. I said last night you had Cesaro and Seth Rollins in a match that was fourth or fifth from the top, that it was very good. And they are two of the best wrestlers in the entire
world.
Those are two guys that can main event anywhere. They can go to Tokyo tonight and main event. And anywhere. They were in the fourth match at WrestleMania. That's how deep the roster is. And I think we're on the cusp of another boom in wrestling, like a big boom. And I think you guys, this roster is going to be a big part of it.
Absolutely. When you say that about those guys, I believe every wrestling school needs to have a tape of that match so they can just put on their school and just run that over and over again and say, you want to see what greatness is? That's greatness.
So here's my question for you. 16-year journey. You're a night removed from winning the, or from retaining the title. Do you feel like you've arrived where you're going to get to, or is there still a little bit more on the bone here?
A lot more to go.
Okay.
A lot more to go. I mean, I'm at the highest point that I've ever been in my career, absolutely, without a doubt. But I'm not done yet. Like right now, I'm heading out to the gym. You know, I got bumps and bruises here. I'm about to head to the gym, do a little cardio. I might get a little shake loose and get ready for the show tomorrow because we have Raw tomorrow. It doesn't stop for me. And there are some goals that I have, you know what? And then across the board, you know what? There's some people, I never want to call out anybody because that's not what I do. I'm a champion right now. And I got to say that right now, that second place spot on the Raw roster is an incredible spot. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible spot because the number one guy is so great. But at the same token, there's one thing that I was kind of thinking about yesterday. I was like, you know what? Last year, somebody got beat by Drew in under 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I put Drew to sleep.
Right.
So if there's any questions on that one, those questions are answered. But there's a lot of other people on this roster right now that I want to have those big matches with. I'd like to be able to main event at WrestleMania again. I would like to be able to win a tag team title eventually in my career. Maybe not now, maybe down in the future, because that's some of the things that I haven't gotten up to this point. There was a picture that was sent to me with all the belts and all the titles that I've won mm-hmm. in my career, and I was like, wow, there's a lot there. But then at the same token, there was a lot that weren't there.
I got to ask you about one more match before I let you go. A couple more questions. I appreciate your time. I know you guys are busy as hell down there. But I have to know what it was like backstage for that main event last night. It was Sasha Banks. It was Bianca Belair. I personally have said it before. I think Sasha Banks might be the very best wrestler in the entire world. that's how good I think she is. And I thought that match was as good as I've ever seen. And those, they went off in a spot that's, the pressure was so great and they delivered. What was the mood backstage for that?
Everybody was standing watching the TV, everybody. And it was so cool because it was a huge level of appreciation and respect. And that's what's so cool about this roster is, like, of course, everybody was jockeying, everybody was fighting for that number one spot. But when they got it, everybody said, okay, let me steal the show at the spot that I'm in.
Right.
And let me give respect to those girls because they put the work in to get to where they are. And when they went out there, they proved it. They showed it. Bianca, man, she is incredible. She is incredible. But when you're in the ring with somebody like a Sasha Banks,
yeah,
it's what she needed. There couldn't have been a better person. I mean, and I don't want to say it couldn't have been a better person because I personally think Bayley is on a whole nother level also.
Sure.
But that's the cool thing about it, man. There's, like I said, our roster right now across the board, it's just insane. You go all the way down the road. You go to Dana Brooke. She's been doing some great stuff. Mandy, she's been doing some great stuff. Bailey's been doing some great stuff. Natalya's always up there. Natty's always up there. Asuka's there. Rhea Ripley's stepping up. There's just so many people on the roster across the board. It is a great time to be a wrestling fan. And it is a horrible time to be a wrestling writer because it's like, how do you put all these people on this card that deserve the spotlight? How do you do it? It's impossible. How do you do it?
That spot last night where Bianca dove onto Sasha. I'm sorry, Sasha dove onto Bianca. Bianca rolled through with her, picked her up to the shoulders and pressed her and walked her back in the ring.
Get out of town.
I'm not trying to tell you to steal anything, but I'm just saying you could probably pull that off too.
Listen, I'm not going to try unless I'm 100% sure that I can do it. And to be honest with you, I'm the almighty, but I am not 100%. I couldn't do it with Drew.
Right. No, I guess not. Speaking of, I didn't know Drew could do that. He dove over the top rope. He's never done that.
He has some tricks in his bag.
By the way, did you watch that film back?
I watched several pieces of it.
Yeah, you should watch the dive back. He had a little incident with the top rope that probably hurt.
I heard about that.
A little Scottish warrior took a little hit.
I was wondering, I heard
All right, last question. You're on top of the world. You're coming to Raw tomorrow night. You're the champ. You just put down your number two guy. What's next for Bobby Lashley?
I like to prepare. Oh man, I saw a shark. That was awesome.
That's a humble brag that you're walking at the ocean.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here looking at a residential street in New Jersey. Okay, thanks.
I just saw a shark in the water. Oh, so what's next for me? It's I never stop, man. I never stop. It's never stop, never days off. I love to train, man. I absolutely love to train. It's not something that I just say, or it's something that I do. And I like I said, I got a treadmill in my dining room. So when I walk down the stairs of my house, that's the first thing that I see. I get out there and put in the work, and I'm not afraid of the work. I love to work. I love to prepare. But you know what? I am going to still prepare, but I'm not just going to let anybody step up and say, all right, I want a title shot. Listen, I've had a busy, busy year. I put in a lot of work. The Almighty needs to take an almighty rest. And I think I might go and hit a vacation spot somewhere and sit on the beach for a few days. And
it sounds like you're in a vacation spot.
I wish I was, but Tampa is raining out here, man.
That's right.
It's raining. It's kind of miserable out here. I mean, I got a nice balcony view over the ocean, but it's raining.
I have a treadmill in my dining room too. It's just a conveyor belt to get the food from the kitchen.
Whatever works, man.
Hey, man, you're the best. I've really watched your path the last couple of months and thought, wow, this is really something special. Drew too, and I know the top of the card is in safe hands this coming year and years to come. Bobby Lashley, you're the best. I appreciate it, man.
Man, thank you. I appreciate you always.
All right, that's wrestling. All right, we're gonna dive back into the rest of WrestleMania, but I gotta tell you, Wednesday nights are the night for fights. ONE Championship, the biggest martial arts organization in the world, is on TNT every Wednesday night in April. Don't miss another stacked fight card. ONE on TNT 2 this Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time, right after AEW Dynamite. ONE on TNT, the best fights on Wednesday night. Timofey Nastyukin, the Russian killer who knocked out Eddie Alvarez in less than 1 minute, finally gets a shot at gold when he faces the golden boy of ONE Championship, ONE lightweight world champion Christian Lee. It's a clash of knockout artists, with Lee holding the record for most finishes in ONE, and Nastyukin having the fastest KO in ONE history. This one is going to be fireworks. Plus, ONE Adam Waite kickboxing world champion Janet Todd continues her quest for gold in a second sport when she takes on number 4 ranked Anne Lyon Hogstad in Muay Thai. The American looks to prove that she is the most dangerous female striker in the world by dominating all of ONE Super Series. ONE on TNT 2 airs this Wednesday night right after AEW Dynamite at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Catch the prelim starting at 8:30 Eastern and 5:30 Pacific on Bleacher Report. The best fights are on Wednesday nights. All right, right now we have voicemails, and we got them coming in right now as we speak. They're coming in. We had some from last night. We can start with that one. That one looks good. We'll start with that one, and it looks like those top five. We can knock out those top five, Aria. All right, voicemails. You guys wanted to talk about WrestleMania 37? Here's your chance. Let's go.
Hey, so I know you're not the biggest fan of celebrity matches, but, you know, Bad Bunny was better than expected tonight. So out of all those celebrity matches, not ever, but in recent history, what's your favorite? Mine would probably be the Stephen Amell versus Christopher Daniels at All In a few years ago. But what would be your favorite celebrity match that you've seen?
So Stephen Amell is a guy that, just like Bad Bunny, came in and worked his ass off and is very athletic. I honestly think this Bad Bunny one might be it, because when you do it at All In, that's great. It's fine. And he did it at SummerSlam too in the WWE. But Bad Bunny did it at WrestleMania. He did it at WrestleMania in Raymond James Stadium. He did it at WrestleMania with everybody saying he couldn't do it, with everybody saying, this is stupid, I don't even know who that is. Bad Bunny went out and had a great match, and Miz had a great match, and Morrison had a great match. I really think this might be the best celebrity match I've ever seen. That's just the honest truth. I'm not trying to gush too much, but I think this was the best, especially given the circumstances and the expectations. I think this was the best celebrity match of all time. All right, let's see. What else we got?
Hey, Brandon Walker, it's Dusty Ladd calling from Union City. I was just wondering to see what your thoughts were about the Lashley and McIntyre finish. Of course, I'm a big McIntyre fan. I wanted McIntyre to win, and everybody, you know, including yourself, thought that McIntyre was going to get his WrestleMania moment, because he didn't really get it last year since there was no fans in the crowd. So what are your thoughts on the finish? I think they still make McIntyre look pretty strong because he got the full Nelson on him. He didn't get pinned. didn't get disqualified or anything like that. So where do you think they go from after this? Does it lead up to a match at Extreme Rules or Money in the Bank or SummerSlam, or they go from here on out? Because they could go with anything from here on out. I thought WrestleMania was pretty great for night one, and I'm looking forward for night two tomorrow.
Here's the thing. If you listen to Bobby Lashley that we just had, and all right, let's have this conversation now. I'd like for you to cut this part. And I mean, the part of the Bobby Lashley interview, I'd like you to clip that part, what I'm about to talk about. I asked him what's next for Bobby Lashley, and he just flat out said, there was a guy that Drew McIntyre beat in 5 minutes last year that I would like to fight. Well, that's Brock Lesnar. That's Brock fucking Lesnar. That means Bobby Lashley just said on a national podcast, hey, I'd like to fight Brock Lesnar. That ain't an accident. So I think we're headed towards Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley very, very soon, probably SummerSlam. That is my personal opinion. And you can listen to his words, not mine. So I don't know if that's set in stone, but I feel like that is definitely a dream match that's been out there for a long, long time. Now, I said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. If Drew McIntyre wins that match last night, he walks out of WrestleMania, he's a made man. The problem is he walked into WrestleMania a made man. He's got a year of holding the title and being the best under his belt already. Bobby Lashley had 5 weeks of the title. Bobby Lashley couldn't afford going out there and losing in his first major defense at WrestleMania. Now, the way it went down, Drew McIntyre didn't quit. Drew McIntyre didn't give up. Drew McIntyre just passed out because of the pain. And now, coming out of that match, you don't have one made man. You have two made men. And whatever happens at SummerSlam with Brock Lesnar, if that's Bobby Lashley, I think these two get together again next year, and then you get Drew McIntyre getting his moment. Voicemail number three.
What's up, Brandon? Hopefully you're feeling better. Hopefully you enjoyed a great weekend of WrestleMania. So I got a question about the first match of the two WrestleMania nights. I think it was a great match between Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. I think it was a really good match to select to go first. But if you had to pick any other match from the two cards to lead off, it's the first match in front of a crowd for the first time in a year, what match would you have picked? And you can't pick Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre, and why would you pick that match? Keep it up. Hopefully doing better. See you later.
I think I would have picked the most professional guys you had. Seth Rollins has open manias. Cesaro is a pro. I would have gone with those two to open WrestleMania. If I'm going against – and the way they did it was perfect. Last night, they opened night one with a banger. They closed night one with a banger. Tonight, they tried to open with a banger. It didn't really go off like that, but they certainly closed with a banger. So that was their thought process both nights. They pulled it off last night. Tonight, not so much. But if I had to choose another one, I would go with Cesaro and Rollins. All right. They're coming. Voicemails are coming in right now, so we're just catching them as we go. Let's go with the next one.
Hey, Brandon. Hey, Arya. Hope you guys are feeling better. Question. What do you guys think about RVD being the manager for the Thanks. Keep it up, guys. Good work. Love the show. Bye.
Here's the thing about Riddle tonight that I saw, and I hope it's something real. You know, Riddle does the goofy 420 stuff. He does the goofy weed stuff. And he's goofy, and he has the scooter. Well, tonight, he did the moonsault into getting kicked by Sheamus, and it busted his lip. And he got his block knocked off, and he lost his match. So as Sheamus is standing there, you've got Riddle laying against the ropes, the bloody lip, looking pissed off. Not looking ha-ha funny, not looking like I need a blunt, not looking like where's my scooter, looking like you piece of shit, you kicked me in the face, and I'm going to destroy you. That is where Riddle should go. I don't think Riddle should be Mr. Ha Ha Funny, let's smoke some dope. Riddle's a 6'5" beast. Riddle should be beating the shit out of people. Bobby Lashley said it earlier. It's time to get tougher. Like the Raw roster got tougher. Bobby Lashley's on top. Sheamus is knocking the shit out of people. Drew McIntyre's knocking the shit out of people. Keith Lee, when he gets back, is going to be knocking the shit out of people. I don't think walking around with RVD doing the finger points and doing the weed stuff is going to get Riddle over. It sounds nice. It sounds funny. But I think Riddle should just be a fucking badass. And I hope that's where he's going. All right. They're rolling in. Before I get to the next one, a very quick apology. I'm very ill. I still have COVID. And I'm very scatterbrained. I'm not feeling myself, but I wanted to do this so we can get it out very, very quickly. If I didn't make sense tonight, just know that we'll be back next week and I'll be at my best, hopefully. Thank you for listening, and we appreciate it. But we're going to keep going with voicemails. So.
Hi, Brandon. Travis from Vermont calling. A question regarding Randy Orton. I know he had his broken skull session recently that I thought was really insightful and made you appreciate his career more. With what happened tonight with the Fiend, where do you see him going forward? Do you see him getting a couple title reigns underneath his belt? And so the curiosity, which one of his themes are the best? Thanks, Brandon. Go, Brandon, go.
I'm reading the question again. I don't know if I understood the question. Where do you see Randy Orton going forward, or where do I see the Fiend going forward? I think Randy Orton, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I certainly the hell away from the Fiend as fast as humanly possible, hopefully. Because Randy Orton did have a good feud with McIntyre last year before he transitioned to the Fiend stuff, and he's just been in Fiend hell for 6 months. Fiend has to be rewritten, man. The Fiend gets its claws and stuff, and just everything comes to grinding to a halt. I'm not trying to be negative. You guys see it. Whatever is happening between Fiend and Alexa, hopefully it's them now and Randy Orton. Randy Orton pinned him and got the hell out of there. Hopefully that was him exiting the storyline tonight. I'd love to see, I mean, we saw a great Evil Edge tonight who was just hell-bent on getting his glory back. I think Randy Orton could do the same thing. I think he could be the same kind of character, and he'd be very good at it. All right, let's go with another one.
What's up, Brandon? Name's Jeremy from Chicago. Huge Stoolie and big fan of the show. Just kind of want to give some thoughts about WrestleMania, you know. Really like both main events. Thought day two lacked a little more, but Cesaro versus Rollins was great. Sheamus versus Riddle was great. Triple Threat was great.
Agreed.
I guess my question is, what was your favorite match and what was your least favorite match? Thank you.
So I'm going to go with my favorite match being Sasha against Bianca. I thought that is such an incredible spot to be put in. Two African-American ladies, first time ever, and you're main eventing the first show back. What pressure. What incredible heat on somebody, and they delivered. Sasha Banks handed Bianca Belair one of the biggest star-making performances ever. I know I'm gushing about it. I know I won't shut up about it. I think this was one of the best matches I've ever seen from the women. From anybody. I've long said Sasha's not the best woman's wrestler. She's one of the best wrestlers. And then the triple threat, the two best matches by far were the main event last night, the main event tonight. The match tonight was probably technically a little bit better than last night. But that being Bianca's first time on the stage and her just like the hair whip. Have you ever heard a sound like that in wrestling ever? I would rather take 1,000 choke slams on top of 1,000,000 stunners on top of 95 billion rock bottoms than ever take one hair whip from Bianca Belair. That sounded like she shot her in the chest. It was an incredible sound, and it was just a great match. But main event number one was great. Main event number two was great. I would say main event number two, probably technically the better match. My favorite, though, main event number one. My least favorite match, definitely the tag team gauntlet for the women last night. They do have very talented women's divisions, yet you had Bayley, who's probably a top five woman wrestler in the world, doing some stupid stuff outside the ring. She wasn't wrestling. You had, you know, Charlotte's out right now. Yeah, Becky, she's out. Obviously, a lot of people are out, but the talent they really had in that gauntlet match was, it's just not befitting of the grandest stage of them all. I think they have incredibly talented ladies, and we didn't really see it there. I thought that was the worst match on the card. And then tonight, through no fault of Randy Orton's, like the Fiend and Randy Orton tried, but that was just death. That was just death. So that was my least favorite stuff on the card. All right, they're still coming in. Let's go. I don't know about this one. This is an impression. Let's give them a chance.
Hey, Brandon, it's Clay from Ohio. Huge fan of the show. Was wondering, big Edge fan, disappointed in how the match ended. Just wondering what you think the next booking is for Edge and how they use him going forward. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Great question. Edge is the ultimate opportunist, right? Like they'll figure out a way to write his character. Like he'll either flip over and go after Bobby Lashley. He'll go after somebody. He'll be in the main event picture a little bit longer. I don't know what the long-term storytelling is. He's probably got one or two more years doing this at a high level. And he was excellent. He was absolutely excellent in that match. He looked like a crazed maniac. It's exactly what he should have looked like. I don't know. I don't know what's next for Roman Reigns. I don't know what's next for Bobby Lashley. Those are the two champs. You figure out those stories, you can write the rest of the shows. I would imagine, since Edge didn't get his one-on-one match, maybe that's your main event for the next pay-per-view. Maybe he gets a one-on-one match. Of course, he's not going to win it because Roman's ahead of the table right now, but that feels like could be where it's going. All right, what's next?
Brandon, this is Jake the Snake Roberts. I'm calling, not BAF.
All right. I don't think that was Jake the Snake Roberts. I don't think that was Jake the
Snake. No.
True. My opinion, night one, much better than night two, I think, overall matches. But night two main event, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, and Edge, I think that was a match of the weekend. So I just wanted your guys' thoughts. Great to have fans back in there. And what's next for Roman Reigns now?
I guess I might have answered that one a little bit. They're coming in as quickly as we can get them. But, I think night one was the superior night. Night two had maybe the biggest highlight of the Roman match. And the show should have ended with Roman standing tall, just like night one should have ended with Bianca Belair standing tall. That video of Sasha laying outside the ring and smiling because Bianca was in the ring celebrating, that's so awesome. That's so fucking awesome. And tonight, Roman Reigns ends WrestleMania holding the belt. He's the man right now. He is the golden goose. He is the guy. He's the straw that stirs the drink. So wherever we go from here, it's on his back. And I was glad to see WrestleMania end the way it did. Is that all we got?
One more.
Give me one more.
Ooh, yeah. Randy Walker, yeah.
Pretty good.
Didn't read any voicemails last week. No, yeah, but you're going to read one right now. Brandon, I'm just calling in. Want to know your thoughts on tonight's commentary. Yeah, we're going to talk about commentary for the entire weekend. Want to know your thoughts on the commentary team. Yeah, I think Michael Cole, yeah, he's got to go. Yeah, not a Bobby Heenan, certainly not a Macho Man Randy Savage. But Brandon, I want to know your thoughts on the commentary team.
All right, so, hey, pretty fucking good impression right there. Not going to lie to you. It's not Dan Soder, but it was really, really good. B, I thought the commentary team was fine. Yeah, Michael Cole botched it yesterday. Michael Cole fucked it up. He called a kick out at the end of the main event, and there wasn't a kick out. And that's a mistake. And the guy's been doing it 25, 30 years. I let him mess up every now and then. Like, I've never hated on Michael Cole the way a lot of people do. I think it's a thankless job. You're a front-facing job in an industry where everybody pretends to hate it, though they watch every fucking show. Like, Michael Cole, everybody thinks they can go online and just say, oh, Michael Cole is this, Michael Cole is that. Well, he's pretty damn good or he wouldn't be in the spot. And you don't even think he's bad. You just think that's a cool complaint to make online, and that's why you do it. Not you, sir. But I've heard Adnan Virk is on the way in to take the Raw commentary job. I don't know if that's happening tomorrow, but he from ESPN will be very, very good. I thought it was at the SEC Network. So we'll see. Is there one more? You want to see if that one's any good? Oh, we'll be flying blind here. No transcription.
Yeah.
You know what? It's WrestleMania. Let's do it.
I know you guys can't hear that, but my eyes were fluttering, and that was my Undertaker impression. So with the match tonight, with the triple threat and the ending that occurred, in which many dweebs and dorks are pointing out that technically Edge laid on Bryan first, there exists the possibility that WWE could split the title, because Edge's last title that he held was the WWE Heavyweight Championship belt, which was unified with the Universal Championship. Do you think that they would go down that route at all to split it back and create dual championships again? It would make for a hell of a storyline. I'll hang up and listen.
No, I mean, that would be the worst. I know what you're saying. Edge did have his – he was on top of Daniel Bryan, so you could say he pinned him. Yeah, I thought about that, but it was so decisive, Roman Reigns pinning them both. That's clearly the story they're telling, clearly the story they're going with. I don't think they're going to retcon it and say, well, Edge gets half the title because he was technically laying on top of Daniel Bryan. And I don't want that at all. That I mean, you've got the head of the table. You've got the Universal Champ. You've got this guy who is so dominant right now. You don't need to usurp that dominance by getting cute with an extra belt. You already have two belts. You have the WWE title. If you want Edge to get that, go let him play with Bobby Lashley. But Roman Reigns won decisively, and that was the way it should have ended. All right. Folks, this has been the worst week of my life. I did not enjoy it. I've had COVID for 8 days. I'm still sick. I can barely walk up and down the stairs. But WrestleMania was incredible. Wrestling is getting bigger and better. We'll be back. We'll be heading to bigger shows very, very soon. It sucks that we didn't get to go to WrestleMania, but at least there was a WrestleMania. Overall, WrestleMania 37 was a good show. It was a welcome sight. It was incredible to see the fans again. It was incredible to see the matches and the way the athletes acted and mingled with the fans and the back and forth. And my kids are being loud. I apologize. But WrestleMania is over. Wrestling will be back next week. I love you all. I'll be back at my best very, very soon. That's wrestling.